time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 15th of June 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday the 15th of June, Sharon Brown talked to Huhana Davis from Petatahi Marae about the Māori history of Matiatia. David Rawsthorne of New Island classical trio Toru Utimotu and Dan Ballard on cyberbullying.
So here we are with Whaia Huhana, who is representing the Marae and also the hikoi that's being organised next Sunday. Kia ora, Whaia.
Morning.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about the hikoi?
Awesome. First and foremost to you, Sharon, for giving us this opportunity, keeping us connected. Awesome. I know for myself, timetables, diary appointments, it's wonderful to have people that connect us all, and that's what it's about. This is of a time, of a moment, in regards to always being the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff for all that's going on in a very popular destination for the world, and certainly politically. Our Matiatia, our gateway, is not the place for a marina. A marina that is about money for individuals, money for prestige in respect to boats, etc. We have enough congestion. We know that those that have lived here and live and work and commute daily. We know the pollution that is already within our harbours right around Aotearoa, but in particular the time that it will take to build, the continued congestion of what boats require, etc. The infrastructures that come with a marina. Look at any marina around Aotearoa. It has slowly builds up a significant infrastructure to support that need, that niche market, you could call it. So next Sunday, the 23rd, at 11 o'clock, we, the faces, the people that live here, that commute, that use our port to travel as families, particularly families, elderly, gathering at Ellison Park to first and foremost walk to Matiatia and acknowledge those that lie there and oppose clearly the intention to build a marina. We have contacted the wider media, in other words, TV stations, and certainly Māori TV. So in respect to Māoridom, in respect to our marae, in respect to the support of mana whenua, Ngāti Pāua, Ngāti Whanaunga, Pai Hauraki, the majority of that bay is a wahitapu. There are many bones that lie down there. The fenced, white picket fence is Rapata Teroa of Taranaki, and his family lie directly beside. But from Tainui side, that was a papakāinga, a significant place of living, and there are many that lie there. In respect to what I've just said, there are Taranaki people. On the right-hand side, there's significant history to Ngāpui Tonu. So it has in-depth history pertaining to the history of this island, but some of the huge giving and integrity of those people that lived here. Rōpā Te Tiroa came as a mōkai, which is he was absorbed into a wider whānau, bought here. Some term it slavery, we don't, it's mōkai. And he actually, 200 years ago, ended up, as Paul Monin has reviewed in his book, Matiatia, four schooners which took tons of onions and potatoes and firewood to start the beginnings and feed Auckland City. So it's many of those aspects of those that are down there are to be celebrated as far as their integrity in their day, in their time, and what they did for this island.
It's his grave that's down there in the picket fence,
that's
isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. It's an amazing story that this area was just the breadbasket for Auckland.
Absolutely.
And that whole, it was all grown down in that sort of flat area at Matiatia.
And he managed the whole farming area of that area. And I've learned a lot more from Paul's book. So very genuine, his history, his research, and revealing much detail on the whole of Matiatia. So we're very lucky and very grateful for those many years that Paul has put in to have brought that book out at a very poignant time in respect to what we thought it was an agenda that was passed. We thought we'd buried this one, but not people of Waiheke. So it's come forth.
So Paul Monin's book is available. I'm sure you can get it through Liz at Tivoli. You could probably get it just by calling Paul Monin. He's in the phone book. And it's a lovely book.
It's wonderful.
It's got different aspects of the history and the culture and both Pākehā and Māori settlements in the area.
At the time, so we'll gather in Ellison Park, we'll walk down collectively, we will approach that side, acknowledge, and it's not about being exclusive, it's about inclusive, always, in the respect of that moment, and then we will cross to the Old Wharf side, and we will be able to see clearly the area of the proposed marina. In other words, there'll be waka out there, boats and waka ama that are going to outline clearly that area. So it'll be visual for all and certainly visual for media to portray to the wider nation in respect to Māoridom out there, those of those iwi, to understand exactly what's going on and also to see clearly what that will be in its maximum content. So that will be something.
So Whaia Huhana, it's not a hikoi only for Māori.
No, not at all. It's for everybody.
Lovely.
And I've made that very clear. I've said hikoi simply means walk. Kia piritahi ai means together as one. Unity is probably our only strength at this stage is to come together as the faces and walk the talk. We have Catherine, who's doing submissions in the Adult Education Centre, 10 till 2 Saturdays. She's there now. So if you don't know how to do a submission, that's what Catherine's there for, giving up her time this weekend, next weekend, the following, to help anybody out that wishes to put it in a submission. That's for or opposed. So, and then tomorrow, of course, we have our meeting in the Austin Hall to look at the planning. Catherine will be there. I will be there. So at this time, just calling to all Waiheke to take notice, to be informed of what's going on in your own backyard. For me, when I come home to Waiheke Island, and I've lived here some 30 years, as we're entering the harbour, everybody can go, I'm home. Now, will you be able to do that, looking at a marina with up to 50 to start with, $50,000 a berth with the boat there? Will you be able to do that as you return home from your family or your business or your work, and you've all come here for a reason? Will you be able to go and look at your beautiful homeland and go, I'm home? So I just ask you to think about all those things. As it's a short time frame, it's the 3rd of July for closure of submissions. It is next Sunday we gather to walk the faces, the feet of Waiheke, to clearly show our collective opposition. We have the support of the marae. We have the support of Mana Whenua Collective. First and foremost for us, it is a huge sacred area. The whole bay is a sacred area. Whetū Matarau is the name of the point to the left as you leave in Māori hands. Moku Moku is the little sacred point to the right as you leave. And then right along that bay, there are all those that rest there of those many iwi. And in respect to Waiheke recently being acknowledged in many magazines as one of the 10 clean, green, pristine, beautiful islands with awesome people and an awesome community. How does that present to the world when it looks like every or many other major bays of the world congested with further marina activity? So lots to think about, and I encourage you all to stand up, and I think it's our turn. We do not want to be in Wharetana again. Stand up, be counted. It is our gateway. It affects every one of us and our children to oppose.
So Faya, can I just ask you, I mean, in a sense, Māori people have died in many different places, and why is this area more significant than other places? That's the first question. But then also, for, you know, won't the marina bring some economic benefits to the island, possibly? And isn't that just progress? Do you have any thoughts on those things?
Change is inevitable, and it is constant. Yes, wherever people, in numbers I would say, and we're talking numbers, significant numbers, that's the issue, die and lie and rest, is an important place, as would be in a European cemetery. And in some context, they are moved for development. We're not saying be exclusive, don't walk here, don't walk there. We're saying there is two big rocks there on this end, just as you walk in. It's got a plaque on it for all to read. And if you look right down the other end by the bridge going up to Sculpture on the Gulf, there is another big rock. Those two rocks are kohatū stones that determine each end, and right along that foreshore there are bones that lie. We're not saying don't walk there. We're saying be aware, acknowledge. So it's not about a segregation in respect. And yes, economics does come. But do you want more congestion down there? Do you want more shops, more, what do they do when they're cleaning the bottom of the boats, etc., etc.? That's the issue for the wider whānau. Do you want more congestion? I looked at Gulf News last week and saw the double parking, etc., etc., and the visual pictures of complexities of what is happening down there presently. And we all know to get parking, etc., is a mammoth exercise. Now, if you've got elderly, infirm, young families, baggage, etc., aside from the fact that we have a population of 8,000 to 9,000 presently, every holidays our population goes to 30,000 over Christmas, etc., etc. Even the parking in the main street of Onaroa at Christmas is a mammoth task. With a growing destination, within 10 years where we are in proximity to Auckland City, being a favoured place to live, with the growth that the island is, that I've seen, when I moved here 30 years ago, we used to wait 10 minutes for a car to come to Onaroa. sitting on the side of the road to see if Mary and the family would be coming in, because you'd made a connection that you'd meet at a certain time. We'd wait 10 minutes for a car to come to Onerua. A house costs less than $50,000. Now look where we are 30 years later. That's a very short time frame in our lifetimes. Look at our children's lifetime. Look at preserving pristine our entrance way of exiting and coming in, and also in respect to what we're presenting to the world of an island where we've opposed nukes, we've opposed many of these massive issues of the world, and our ecology is first. So the issue in regards to economics of this harbour, it's about ecology rather than economy.
Interesting. Do you have any thoughts around the land reclamation or modifying the foreshore in order to put a car park? Is there any Maori perspective around modifying land, or is that not necessarily something that is affected or considered within any kind of Maori worldview?
The exact dimensions of that I'm not certain of. I will be going to planning tomorrow to learn, as all of us, more. I'm aware of the proximity, and I'm looking forward to seeing that outlined. I'm aware of the proximity of the planned car parking area. As a whare of the marae, and in my involvement with my people, due to the fact that bones continually surface along that foreshore, we have lifted those bones and we have moved them as a collective that came up at that time along to the right-hand side. So I'm talking, there's not much peace and there's a lot more action with 40,000 on sculpture on the Gulf, etc., walking along there, and the growth. So we thought we'd move them to the right-hand side, that's past the old wharf to the right there, to give them more peace in an area that was chosen by the elders. So in that particular area of the proposed park for car parks, there are a significant amount of bones that have been relayed for the sake of peace. As well. So also from a personal perspective, I remind you that in the building of that wharf, one man passed away in building it, and his memorial is right there in the island beside the taxi stand. He was a tāpara of Ngāti Maniapoto Tainui Waka also. So when we look at it, we look at it holistically. We don't segregate in respect to just marina. We look from one point to the other, and we call this one of the most sacred gateways, bays in the world. And if we can put that foremost and present our gateway in a significant manner, that we are all included as our transport way to the world, but we can celebrate what all that is about in extending the ngahere, the bush that Don Chappell on his bike with 2, 3, 4 plants a day for 20 years planted for us, and we can go past and breathe that clean air and acknowledge the efforts of an awesome rangatira. And we called him Tani Mahuta, God of the Forests, for all that he left, that huge legacy. So did the people that lie there, and they deserve to be acknowledged. That doesn't mean exclusiveness, but as I say, can we keep our harbour in an ecologically proud light for now, for the future, for our future generations, children, to celebrate and feel at peace with, as a place that we cross through in respect to all that there is there, And instead of purely an economic niche market for a certain few.
Thank you, Huhana. It's really interesting because especially that argument around the way you feel when you arrive at Matiatia, I feel that every day when I come back from Auckland. And I can see as I'm waiting to get off the ferry that I'm standing there with a whole bunch of other people. We're all waiting outside and we have that feeling of relief as we dock and as we walk onto the wharf. And I just feel, this is a personal view, that having a marina there really affects the whole beauty of that space and the energy of that space. And yet it's such an emotional response, and yet it's shared by so many people. And it's a very difficult argument to put into any kind of submission. Even though it's something that we all feel, there doesn't seem to be a space to put that response in. And I think that's quite interesting around how we have submission processes, but they don't necessarily cover the way people feel.
Oh, for the anonymity of technology. Can't see the pain, can't feel the joy, but I really hope to see your faces, hear our collective voice, share as one as we gather in our frustrations for the developments that are taking place around our island. When I say I look back 30-odd years, as many can say, seen huge change. This is one change that I'm clearly opposed to. And as a mother of a huge family, as you all know, and grandmother and great-grandmother now, with my Tani Eugene, we look at those children, we look at our mokos coming to this island and rep this island as they arrive, looking at it for the beauty that it is. And people, let's walk the talk next Sunday. Let the world see our faces, our concern to leave our gateway in its pristine condition. Let's acknowledge each other. Let's acknowledge those that lay there. Let's make our point clear and obvious. And kia ora for the submissions. As I said, the anomaly of technology is not one of its attributes. Kia ora mai.
Kia ora. Okay, great. So that's next Sunday, assembling at 10:30 at Allison Park, just near the library, walking down to Matiatia and then to the Old Wharf.
Yeah, we'll gather down.
And we'll gather around there. And are we going to be walking through Atawhai Whenua?
We can walk through part of that. We'll be walking past it. And that's the whole point. Acknowledging that awesome effort, talking those stories on the way, reflecting with each other as the community of Waiheke, which in our busy days we pass each other of the moment. Here's a chime to reflect, take optimistically the stroll with the sunlight. I am totally optimistic. The gods will be with us on that day, and those down there are waiting for us to be acknowledged in the collective manner that they deserve, in opposition to further economics virtue for individuals, to just acknowledge. And as I say, it's not about being exclusive and respect for those who lie, to be careful, to acknowledge, to respect. And for all those that work, we know we will be showing quite clearly to the world, to the medias and TV, as I said, to oppose, to do the best we can in our personal presence of that moment. We're given one moment in time at this time, 1 week virtually before submissions close. Then it goes to the Environment Court. And then, folks, it's practically over. The fight then continues through courts, of course. But we've got a moment next Sunday, 11 o'clock, in one of our lovely parks, to walk together, hold each other up, say kia kaha, be strong, kia maia, hold fast, kia manawanui, as we are, always be of great heart.
Oh, that's very inspiring. Okay, so uniting next week at 10:30 at Allison Park, walking down to Motiatia and having an opportunity to physically be in the space and share the stories and enjoy each other's company. Also this weekend at... what time is it? I think I said it before, but there's the meeting at Ostend, which I think is starts at 11, yeah, organised by the Waiheke Island Community Planning Group to raise some of the issues that can be put into submissions around the marina issue. Whaia, thank you so much. Matariki's passed, but happy Matariki.
Kia koe hoki.
I came across Trio O Te Motu, who were rehearsing at Whittaker's, and David has very kindly volunteered to come over and tell us all about their performance tomorrow on the 16th. Hi, David.
Hi there. Nice to be here.
Lovely, lovely to have you. So tell us all about this. It sounded like there's some lovely sounds coming through the Whittaker's windows.
Well, thank you. Yes, we decided a short while ago that we wanted to do a recital together. So we normally do weddings and corporate entertainment around the island. So we thought we'd rather do something a little more serious. So we're doing a string trio, which is violin, viola and cello. So there's myself on viola and Sally Ann on cello and Joe on violin. And we're also doing three duets for each combination of instruments. So we're doing a rather nice Mozart duo for violin and viola in B-flat, which he wrote as a commission. We're doing a duo for cello and viola by Beethoven, early piece, and also one for violin and cello, also by Beethoven. So it's mostly Beethoven, but quite a not a very serious program. About an hour and a quarter length. So
wow, but it sounds like it's got heaps of variety in it.
It certainly does, yes. We've actually been discovering some repertoire which isn't played very often. So the string trios are quite early pieces. Beethoven wrote five altogether. We're doing one in C minor, which is quite a dramatic piece. Not often heard, but it's definitely equal to the early quartets, which he started writing a couple of years later. And the other trios are quite a mixed bag. So the violin-cello duo is actually originally written for clarinet and bassoon, which Beethoven then later rewrote to make a bit more money out of it for stringed instruments. The Mozart piece was actually... there was a set of six duos commissioned by the Archduke of Salzburg, who was apparently a very good violinist, from Michael Haydn. And Haydn fell ill after he'd written the first four. So Mozart stepped in and helped his friend out and wrote two rather wonderful duos for violin and viola. Mm. So we're doing the second one of those, which again
is something he did a lot of, or it was specifically in this context that he ended up doing that?
This was a one-off. So Mozart, a lot of what he wrote was for commissions and subscriptions. Again, this was a commission, so he completed the set of six duos with these last two, which are actually, if you hear the other four by Haydn, the Mozart ones are far superior. And the Archbishop for whom he wrote them apparently didn't notice any difference between the styles, which I think says something about his musical taste, because they are very, very fine pieces, Mozart's mid-period when he wrote these. So definitely worth a listen, and of course seldom performed. So this is an ideal opportunity to program it with the other duets and the trio when we all play together at the end of the recital.
Oh, lovely. Mm. So what time does it start? Oh, it says here 5.
So it's 5 o'clock tomorrow at Whittaker's Piano Museum. Likely to be quite busy, so do phone up and book or arrive a little bit early. So, and I think it's just $25 for that. So
lovely.
Good
and
price.
And how long does it go on for?
I think it'll be finish about 6:15, so no interval. None of the pieces is terribly long. So yes, around about 70-75 minutes for the whole evening, so you can be home in decent time.
Great, lovely. Oh, that sounds amazing. So are you involved in other kinds of bands and trios?
I actually have a full-time day job on the mainland, but Sally Ann is a Suzuki teacher, so she teaches a lot of cello students. And Dr. Joe, our violinist, Joe Harrop, he works for Sistema, which teaches violin to kids in Auckland in deprived areas free of charge, so it's a very good outreach program. And he also is associated with Auckland Philharmonic, so he does a lot of very good educational work in, you know, the less well-funded parts of Auckland with kids. So it's a very good program that he's involved in.
And you guys also play weddings?
We do. So we tend to do vineyards in the summer. So I won't mention them, but, you know, the main ones overlooking the coast. And we tend to play the same pieces every single wedding, so it's nice to choose our own pieces for this for this recital.
So there are particular pieces that are popular for weddings?
There are, yes. The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba, Pachelbel's Canon, Here Comes the Bride.
Oh, right.
So, I'm sure you'd be familiar.
Definitely.
So every single wedding, pretty much, we play them. But we have a few other things, like we've played Jimi Hendrix's Purple Rain and a few other.
Oh, wow, that must be incredible.
Beatles are quite popular. All You Need Is Love is a fairly popular one.
Right.
Yeah, so we do that too.
Oh, lovely. Good. So are there other particular things you wanted to mention about this event tomorrow? Anything about the music? Because I found that quite interesting.
So I think the most interesting piece is probably the Beethoven Trio in C minor. So this was a set of three, which was commissioned by Count Johann Georg von Braun, who was one of Beethoven's early patrons. And Beethoven, in his dedication, said, "This is one of the finest of my works." So Beethoven obviously spent a lot of time this one. He did numerous revisions on it, and it was finally published in 1798 with the other two trios in the same set. This one is also in C minor, which was a very significant key for Beethoven. It's a very dramatic key, and it's the same key as his Fifth Symphony, and also his Eroica Symphony, the Funeral March, is in C minor, and also the Third Piano Concerto and the Pathetique Piano Sonata. So it's a very, as I said, very dramatic key. Unusually, the string trio, all four movements are in C of some flavour, so the first, last and scherzo are in C minor and the slow movement in C major, so it's very centered around that tonality. So it's well worth coming for a listen. Most people will never have heard this piece. It's beautifully written. The first movement is just flowing counterpoint all the way through. Very beautiful slow movement, which is actually quite similar thematically to some of the later string quartets. A very quick scherzo, which vanishes after a couple of minutes, so that's great fun, and then a dramatic last movement.
Is it a hard piece to play?
It's challenging, yes. So it's quite different from the string quartets when you have an extra fiddle player, so we have much more soloistic parts, which is good from one point of view. So as a viola player, I feel often stifled by the fiddle players. So in this, I very much get a voice, and often I'm playing the bass line, which is quite different stylistically. It's quite challenging, but, you know, we practice a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure we'll manage. We'll start and finish together.
Great. Lovely. Well, that's the main thing then. Oh, look, it sounds amazing. I'm going to try and come. I could bring my kids along, I suppose.
Absolutely,
I mean, they're not going to
yes.
run around. They'll be quiet and listening.
That would be great, yes.
Lovely. No, it sounds like a huge opportunity. Lovely. Okay, good. So that's Sunday the 16th at 5 p.m. Trio Otemotu, so our very own trio, and playing a huge variety of duets and
one trio at
and
the end,
one
yeah.
trio to finish it off. Lovely, great.
Great, thank you very much.
Thanks heaps.
Thank you, and hope to see you tomorrow.
Yes,
5 o'clock.
Lovely.
Thank you,
yes,
Shirin.
Good. So that was David. How do you say your last name? Rawsthorne.
Rawsthorne.
Rawsthorne. Yeah. Oh, that sounds very civilised.
I struggle with that as well. Yes,
yes.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a terribly nice name, though. Lovely. So that's tomorrow evening.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Right, so here I am with Dan Ballard. Is that how you say your last name?
Yes, it is. Thank
right.
you.
And Dan is a web designer and knows a little bit about, through his work, knows a little bit about cyberbullying, and that's what I thought we'd talk about today. So, Dan, what is it that you do?
Oh, well, I work in technology, and I help people with their websites, to have professional websites, and I teach them how to update those websites themselves and look after technology. So that's my business.
Lovely. And have you been on the island long?
Actually, no. I'm relatively new. I've been on the island for, I think it's coming up to about 8 months now. So, and loving it very much. It's a fantastic place.
Lovely. And so what brought you here? I was quite curious about how people end up here.
It's beautiful here. Absolutely. I think it's great. So, yeah, me and my wife, we love it very much. So we'll be...
Lovely. Were you in another part of New Zealand before, or you were overseas? Or
No, we're in Waiheke. We were in Te Aritu before we came out here. And we actually quite liked Te Aritu until we moved here. And then we realised how nice it is here. And
and you're here to stay. Lovely. Great. Okay, good. So... So one of the things that's, I mean, the reason this is, I thought this would be quite a topical thing, is that on Facebook in the last couple of weeks, there seems to have been a few nasty comments made and pages that were closed and maybe shared by a few people were then opened, and then a whole bunch of people got to see things that had been said about them, and it caused, you know, a lot of people a bit of hurt. So I guess it's around that. So what is cyberbullying? Is there some sort of definition for it?
Yeah, well bullying, in my opinion, is bullying. It doesn't matter where or how that actually happens and takes place. So when someone does something nasty to someone else, that's bullying. And, you know, I think most people probably would have experienced bullying to some level at school and universities, and just whenever you encounter people. And technology is fantastic and enables great communication, and it enables people to do amazing things. But unfortunately, it also enables them to bully people as well using technology. So that's some negative aspects of that.
Mm. So if you feel that you're being targeted, or people are saying things that aren't very nice about you, what are the strategies that you've got?
Yeah, well, there's lots of things you can do. First of all, most technology systems, including Facebook or even texting or any of the social media outlets, enable you to block people. So immediately you can block and report them. And if it is a page which has a whole bunch of people which are being offensive or bullying to some degree, you can actually get the page shut down and complain to Facebook. And all the Facebook have systems to do that. All you need to do is just Google how to do it, and it's fairly straightforward.
Mm. And is there some sort of protection in there that it's something legitimate? I mean, in the sense, is it the fact that you complain about something that you immediately shut down someone's page? Because potentially that could shut down, you know, a whole load of sort of things that would be considered free speech or, you know, enabling democracy or whatever.
Yeah, good question. Well, I think it's really important to gather the information. So on most PCs and Macs, you can take screenshots and you can paste that information into a Word document. And because with bullying, if it doesn't matter where it is, it's, you know, to a degree, it can actually be illegal. So you need to keep evidence of what's happened, and then you can use that evidence to you know, explain your situation to Facebook. And if it is really nasty and it continues happening, you may want to approach the police and talk to them about what's been happening, and potentially it could be illegal behavior.